radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling on Sunday weather. 1 week later and Laura is finally gone. But the tropics are still very busy because tonight we have a cousin of Laura, as it were, a mid-level circulation that's plugged into Florida tropical moisture and is now off the Georgia-Carolina coast, capable of becoming a named tropical storm by tomorrow or Tuesday. But don't worry, it won't hit any landmasses. However, there's another wave in the Caribbean that will hit landmasses. It's currently labeled Invest 99L, and it's headed for the Yucatan, possibly to be named tomorrow, and the next name will be Nana. Then there are two more waves off Africa, one with little chance of making it, the other a better chance after Labor Day. Meanwhile, the recovery in Texas, Louisiana, and Arkansas from Laura is just getting started, and there are months ahead to return to just normal services. We also have a severe thunderstorm watch over the northern plains tonight, heat advisories, Texas and Louisiana, flood watches for monsoon rains in Arizona, and no rain for the wildfires, and it may get cooler after Labor Day. That would be nice, even briefly. Meteorologist John Weatherby, weather reports at 6 and 36 minutes past the hour all night on Sterling on Sunday.
All right, it's 7 minutes past the hour with Walter M. Sterling. From Bermuda to La Jolla, from Canada to Mexico, this is Sterling on Sunday. Can you imagine blanketing the country with this nonsense, with this crap? Can you imagine that? Here you are trying to get home from a long weekend with your family. You're going to the airport because you got to get out of town. You've been cutting the lawn all day, and you turn on the radio and you hear this, and you go, "Ew, God." This week, I saw the dumbest thing on TV. And let me share with you a secret. That's not a secret, but I never talk about it. Before I did a talk show, I used to be a suit. I used to wear navy blue suits, wingtip shoes, rep ties. People took me very seriously. And I shared information about how to present content on the radio and TV. I was a consultant, a dirty word, I know, but there it is, a consultant. And one of the things I always used to say was, when it's snowing outside, talk about the snow. Meaning, if it's snowing outside, there is nothing more important to viewers and listeners than the snow. This applies to hurricanes and tornadoes. I turned on the TV because I wanted to hear about the hurricane. Well, what kind of hurricane was this? This was a Category 4, very rare, hurricane that hit Louisiana at 150 miles an hour. Nothing had hit Louisiana that hard since the early 1800s.
Pummeled the coasts of Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. The eye of the storm moves just east of New Orleans, but the city is not spared.
The city is not spared. The city was not spared. Could you hear that? Was that loud enough? Let's try that again.
Pummeled the coasts of Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. The eye of the storm moves just east of New Orleans, but the city is not spared.
Right. So I wanted to hear about that. I wanted to see that on the TV. What I did not want to see was some guy being buffeted by the winds, thrown against a telephone pole with a microphone, and then that was it. Why is it on television, whenever they show a hurricane, they show the person, the woman, the man with the microphone being blown around, but they never show what I want to see? I want the cameras to pan the area. I want to see what they're standing in front of. I want to see the gas station. It's always a Marathon gas station with the sign coming down, the sparks flying. That's what I want to see. I want to see it move toward the cheap hotel, always a cheap hotel. I want to see the sign falling down, the roof blowing off in 2 seconds. I want to see that footage in a hurricane. I don't want to see the reporter standing there being blown around. I don't want to see it. And then the worst part is I don't want to see the reporter say to me, "And be sure to stay safe." Well, why don't you try staying safe instead of standing out in the middle of the road? Why don't you try staying safe? I didn't see that. Instead, last week, instead of seeing information, footage of the 150-mile-an-hour hurricane hitting Louisiana. Instead of seeing that, I tuned into the TV, and what did I hear?
And we stand for our flag. This election is a battle for the soul of America. Your choice is clear.
What? What choice? I want to hear about the hurricane. When there's a hurricane, a Category 4 hurricane that hits Louisiana. And then it isn't that it just stopped at Louisiana and Alabama. Not that. This was a very odd path for a hurricane. It moved up to the middle of the country, to Arkansas, Little Rock, then made a right and headed east toward the eastern seaboard. It cut the country in half in the midsection. Moved toward Washington, D.C., up to New York City, up to Boston, where it is now, dump and rain everywhere it went. A Category 4 hurricane. That's what I wanted to hear about and see.
Pummel the coasts of Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. The eye of the storm moves just east of New Orleans, but the city is not spared.
Obviously, if I tune into the television, that's what I'm going to see. I turn on the television and I see...
And we stand for our flag.
Oh, my God.
This election is a battle for the soul of America. Your choice is clear.
No, it's not. And then, here are two political conventions, right? Each getting about 20 hours of primetime television to announce candidates we already knew had the nomination. There was no news. There was no news. I'm like watching a 1958 convention where everything was static and there was no news. There was no news. Nothing happened. Nothing. Meanwhile, a Category 4 hurricane hit the country.
Pummel the coasts of Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. The eye of the storm moves just east of New Orleans, but the city is not spared.
Unbelievable. The worst news judgment in the history of, and it's always bad, but this was the worst news judgment I ever saw. The hurricane was tearing up the country, and instead they covered conventions where we already knew the outcome. There were no floor fights. There was no debate who was ever going to be vice president. And then there was this weird woman screaming at me.
And we stand for our flag.
Yeah, stop screaming at me. Very disturbing. It was bizarre. It was as though nobody wanted to cover the hurricane. It was a massive hurricane, 150-mile-an-hour winds. You ever been in Florida? You know what I'm talking about. Ever been in Kansas? You know what I'm talking about. This was no minor deal. This was huge, huge, huge. All right, let's you and I talk. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. I am tired of sitting here alone. I would love it if you would call and let's you and I talk. And everybody who calls in tonight gets a chance to guess the mystery voice.
It's also really nice to pay attention to the girls.
The girls?
Yeah. Gentle. That's nice.
Mm-hmm. If you guess who that is, you will win a prize announcement and guppies. Yes, guppies. No other radio show gives you guppies, but we do. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is called Sterling on Sunday. I'm with you every Sunday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m., and right now it is 10:15 on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hul of Muskegon, Michigan. How do you artificially inseminate a female guppy? Details later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Two Florida pool boys take down the president of an evangelical university. Well, technically, they took down his wife. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part one of Florida Stories.
Now everybody has to wear the mask. Everybody. Don't buy your mask at a hardware store or a bad drug store. The best place to get the mask is at the New Deal Shop. The New Deal Shop. The New Deal Shop.com. You go there and you buy KN95 masks. KN95 masks. These are the ones that first responders use, that police, doctors, nurses, the KN95 mask. But let me tell you, personally, what the best thing about the KN95 mask is, you can breathe in it. Most masks, I have trouble breathing in. The mask from Grandma with the kittens and the bunnies on it, I have trouble breathing in. These masks are designed so that you can actually breathe through them, and they protect you, and they protect the people around you. The KN95 mask. The best place to get the mask is thenewdealshop.com. Thenewdealshop.com. Thenewdealshop.com is filled with amazing products, things that I've never seen before, things I have never seen sold online. But today, you and I need the masks. If you want to get the best possible mask for you and your children and your parents, you get them at the New Deal Shop. They're called KN95 Mask. They're right on the homepage, easy to spot. You go there, you click on it, you buy the masks. Then after you've bought the mask, you want them shipped fast, right? You're going to want them right away. Put in my name in the promo box, Walter! You put in my name, what's the result? You get free two-day shipping. Free two-day shipping. Free two-day shipping, because you're going to want them right away. KN95 masks, the best place to get them is thenewdealshop.com. Promo code Walter.
Sterling on Sunday.
Keeps.com. Keeps.com. What's that? That's a company that helps you keep your hair. You get to keep your hair if you go to keeps.com. Sign up. They will ask you a few questions, and then you will get prescriptive medicines to help you keep and, in many cases, restore your hair. I was skeptical, but I have more hair now than when they started advertising on Sterling on Sunday. That's right. These medications prescribed by a doctor work for me. I get a pill, a shampoo that smells amazing, and a serum. These three things work together carefully, scientifically, to help me restore my hair and bring back hair. Get the information and put in my name, Walter, for 50% off at keeps.com, KEEPS.com.
You get no commercials.
Actually, you do, but not for a few more minutes. Back to Sterling on Sunday.
All right, we're very excited to be here with you at 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. It was insane, right? You turn on the TV, and what did you see? You saw people screaming about the Democrats or screaming about the Republicans. Meanwhile, a third of the country is being destroyed by a Category 4 hurricane. That was crazy. It was insane.
I mean, this is crazy. Get rid of it.
Brian Rosenwald wrote a book claiming that talk radio controls the political flow of the country, or something like that. I picked up the book that Brian Rosenwald wrote. Now, where do you live, Brian?
I live in Philadelphia.
You live in Philadelphia under the influence of the powerful WPHT and Dom Giordano. Is that right?
That's right. That's right.
All right. So Brian wrote this book about talk radio and its impact on the government, our government. And I'm like, well, okay, this is interesting. It bears no relationship to the reality I know. And I'll tell you why, Brian. I have hired more talk show hosts than almost anybody. Because before I was a talk show host, I was a consultant. And I was a manager. And I manage all of the talk channels on Sirius Satellite Radio. And I created stations like New Jersey 101.5, WRKO in Boston, WISN in Milwaukee, KLSX in Los Angeles, many, many others. Only ones I could get to by a nonstop. I'm sure you understand and appreciate that. Here's the thing. I don't know of any manager or myself or anybody like that who hired anybody based on their political leanings. Can you believe that?
Oh, that's absolutely true. Keep in mind, the hosts themselves, the programmers, they've got one goal. They want to make money. They want to put the best show on possible. But that doesn't mean that the political people don't take what they're saying and that they don't have a political impact. But their goal The goal of the industry is absolutely to put a good show on, to keep your listeners tuned in for as long as you can, and have them tuning in every day.
What is the point of your book?
Point of my book is, first of all, to explain where this came from. You know, we're in a political moment in which you can argue that some of the president's top advisors are people like Sean Hannity. And how we got to this point, because, you know, when I start my book in the 80s, there isn't that much talk radio. There's stations in big cities, KABC in L.A., WABC in New York, but talk radio was just taking off. So I want to tell the story of how this industry emerged and how it became a big format that saves AM radio. And then I want to explain how this began to have such a big impact on politics, how by 1992, Rush Limbaugh is staying in the Lincoln bedroom in the White House. It was a story that nobody had told, and I wanted to tell it. And I wanted to tell it in a way where there's no political axe to grind. You know, so much of what you hear from people on the left about talk radio is these guys are demons. They, you know, they're pawns of the Republicans. And from the right, you hear people saying, thank God we have a voice. Thank God someone is sharing our perspective. And I wanted to share the industry's perspective on what they're trying to do and then look at how it influences politics.
All right, Brian, what's the name of your book?
Talk Radio's America.
Talk Radio's America. He has written a book about talk radio and its impact on politics in America. It is not a doctoral thesis. It's one that I was actually able to read. And I will put the link to it on Walter M. Sterling at the Facebook page, Walter M. Sterling. And if you'd like to talk to him right now, you can at 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. What is the heart thesis of this book? What is the essence of what you're saying, Brian?
The essence of what I'm saying is these hosts get up every morning and say, how can I put the best show on possible? But because their audience has grown over time, and this was not foreordained, this was not something that was definitely going to happen, but because the audience has grown to be the Republican base, they have an inordinate impact on political discourse and on what the Republican Party especially will do, because their audience are the people who vote in Republican primaries, and hosts have this bond with their audiences. You know, there are hosts, there's one host that you'd remember this, I don't know if the audience would, a guy named Ray Breen out in L.A., and when one of his listeners passed away, she deeded him her house. That's the kind of bond they had, because she listened every night. And these hosts, when they say something to a listener about a political candidate or about an issue, they have a real impact. And they're not trying to elect people every day of the week or anything like that, but the Republicans have paid attention to them. And if you look at what's happened over time, the political arc is how you go from George Herbert Walker Bush to Donald Trump, who sounds a lot like what you hear on the airwaves. He's a good show, if nothing else.
Yeah, I know you're not going to believe this, but this is true. First of all, I wasn't mentioned in your book, and that's a serious mistake. Secondly, the bond with the listener has been there since the 1920s. And the big hosts since the 1920s, and by the way, today is the 100th anniversary of the first radio station going on the air. Today, WEAF in New York. But the relationship between me and a listener has precious little to do with politics and a lot to do with the dynamic of how we talk and where we are heard. We are heard in media rooms, otherwise known as cars. We are heard on earphones. We are heard in the most intimate possible surroundings. You mentioned about a listener leaving Ray Breen his house, deeding him his house. I know a woman who left Peggine Fitzgerald $11 million. And Peggine Fitzgerald was a host on WOR for about 800 years. The woman never talked about politics. She never talked about politics. She talked about cats and her husband. And somebody left her $11 million. That is the nature of the medium. What we are better at able to move rather than people into a voting booth, we're not as good at that as you think. We're much better at moving product off a shelf. Nobody can move product off a shelf like a talk show, radio talk show. It's not even close. And no one can raise money like a radio talk show host for charities. Think about all the radio stations and all the hosts you've heard who have been who have raised money for charities on a regular basis with the storm or with COVID or whatever. And then look at TV. Look at TV and ask yourself, why is it that the local TV anchors don't do that sort of charity work on the air? And the answer is they get no results. They get no results. We do. That's the difference. But I know of very few true believers who are talk show hosts who, my gosh, we have to get this person elected. I just never hear that in the halls.
I absolutely agree with you. You might be surprised by that. But to be very clear, there is this intimacy. I think it was Neil Bortz in a book saying, look, I'm talking to people in the shower. You know, this is a much more intimate medium than television. It's a conversation. People feel like, you know, you've reached through the radio and you've grabbed them. And hosts do an immense amount of charity work. They have those bonds. And those bonds, you know, they're forged. Some people spend more time with their favorite host than they do with their spouses. So I absolutely agree with you. And I'm not saying, to be very clear to your listeners, I'm not saying that talk radio hosts, that most of them are trying to get people elected. There are a few. There's one company out there that, you know, you have to kind of toe the line to be on their stations. But most hosts are really, you know, what's the news?
Let me tell you an interesting fact, Brian Rosenwald. Any company that says we have a political position and we expect our hosts to follow that has no ratings. At no time, if a radio station or company tries to dictate a specific political point of view, I guarantee you they have no ratings. What's the name of your book, Brian?
Talk Radio's America.
Talk Radio's America by Brian Rosenwald. I'll put the link on my Facebook page. You're a good guy, Brian. In your next book, though, you're going to mention my name.
I think you're in the footnotes. I'm pretty sure.
I don't want to be in footnotes. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday.
Where news and sports and the weather reports and the very best music, too, is heard by the very best listeners. And we mean you.
Sterling on Sunday weather. Your forecast tomorrow is very summer-like for the last day of August. Hot and humid with late-day showers and thunderstorms. In fact, a quick-moving system is crossing the Great Lakes tonight into tomorrow. Rain and embedded thunder from Washington, D.C. all the way down to Miami, through the Carolinas, across Georgia, and spreading west into the Tennessee Valley. Severe thunderstorms over Oklahoma, North Texas, quiet way out west. Tuesday, more severe weather in basically the same place, moving southeastward into Texas, heavier showers for Florida, and moving into New York City, too. Wednesday and Thursday, more late-day thunder in Florida, but a general rain and some thunder from San Antonio to Pittsburgh. Then Friday, less rain across the country, almost quiet to start the Labor Day weekend. By then, we'll have a better idea on the tropics, and note there's no rain from the wildfires yet. Some 86 fires burning out of control, though the weekend weather did help a little bit in the southwest, Southern California portions of Arizona. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby. Weather reports at 6 and 36 minutes past the hour all night on Sterling on Sunday.
All right, coming up tonight, we have the drive-through brew, which is the amazing experience of going into a house in your car and having the trunk filled with beer. Plus, we have the usual edition, our parody of public radio, which I hate. And we have Vic Ferrari, retired New York City police detective, with a great cop story.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowitz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter, let me tell you a great story from my new book, Grand Theft Auto, the NYPD's Auto Crime Division. So in the mid-90s, with the boom of the internet and e-commerce, people began selling their vehicles on Craigslist and eBay. Well, a victim comes to our office and he says, listen, I purchased a car about 2 months ago, and I think the woman that sold me the car stole it back. So he explains that he had seen the car listed for sale on Craigslist. He went to see it. He took it for a test drive. He negotiated a price with this woman, and he purchased it. But now he sees, you know, now that he got his car stolen, he goes on Craigslist again, and he sees his car. He's almost positive it's the same car with the phone number, you know, from the woman that sold it to him. So we went, and sure enough, the car is parked in front of the woman's house, and we arrest her. And the scam worked like this. What she would do is she would list a car for sale on Craigslist, and she would always have a duplicate set of keys, and she would always order a duplicate title from DMV. Then what she would do is she would sell the car to somebody, ask them enough questions to know where they live, and then wait a month or so, go back, steal the car, right? She had the title for it because she had a duplicate title. She would walk into a police station and convince some cop it was all a misunderstanding. I'm the owner of this car. I don't know how it was reported stolen. And if she shopped around enough, she'd find a cop that would cancel an alarm on the car. So when we went to arrest her, she didn't take it well, and she was all bent out of shape. And I says, well, I guess crime didn't pay. She goes, well, it did for a while.
All right, it's 38 past the hour with Walter Sterling. And now, to prove that I'm in my laundry room, I just turned off the portable air conditioner. The portable air conditioner is a device that you pretty much only find in basements or cellars, depending on your part of the country. All right, I got a lot to do. What do I want to talk about first? Oh, yes. By the way, I had a important revelation yesterday, this week. I've been married 19 years, and this week was the first time where I really internalized the fact that I'm married. Like, I know that sounds insane. I've been married 19 years, and I finally this week internalized the fact that I'm really married, because in my mind, I got married in pieces, in my personality, in my spirit. Only little pieces of me got married at a time. First, it was my dinnerware. I came into the marriage with dinnerware. Oh, you want to borrow the dinnerware? Sure, you can borrow the dinnerware. You're my wife. You can borrow the dinnerware. And then we could share a bed. All right, we could share a bed. But there were many times in our marriage I slept in a different bed because we had kids and it was just easier to sleep in a different bed. So I didn't dive into that. I just didn't dive into that as part of the marriage. In fact, when we came back from our honeymoon, which was a great honeymoon, in fact, that was the last time I remember actually seeing and talking to my wife. We went to separate apartments. She still had her own apartment. I still had my own apartment. We had not chatted exactly about what we were going to do. We hadn't actually had the conversation about where we were going to live. We got back that night. I called her. I said, where do you want to live? I hadn't really talked that through. Every piece of combining lives came together very slowly. A lot of it had to do with the fact that I had to internalize the fact that I have in-laws. And I could intellectually accept that I have in-laws, but I couldn't really accept the fact that they had any influence on my life. I had no interest in them having influence on my life. My wife often says, well, you know, you have these social issues. You don't want to talk to people. You don't seem to know that other people are around. I'm like, oh, no. I am very aware that other people are around. I just choose not to speak to them. When my father would used to go to these family functions on Sundays, one of the aunts would have dinner. We'd all have to go to her house. I would talk to the cousins, blah, blah, blah. But my father, I realize in retrospect, what he would do, he would sit in the corner of the aunt or uncle's house. He'd sit in the corner of the living room with the Sunday newspaper, with the Newark Star Ledger. He would open it up, sit in the corner, and read it slowly. And then every now and then, some conversation from some part of the room caught his ear, and he would say something like, I don't think so. Just out of nowhere, he'd go, I don't think so. or I'll have mine rare, or tomorrow's an early day. That was about it. He'd have partial sentences at random times to random conversations. That was his idea of being social. Then when my mother would say, no one else, when my mother would say, all right, Walter, let's go. Then it was time for him to get up and we'd have to leave. All right, Walter, let's go. That's how she managed the crowd known as her family. Then we would all get up and leave. No matter what we were doing, it was up to her. God help my father if he said, could we go now? No. New Jersey is a matriarchy, and the women are very much in charge. They're all Carmela Soprano. They're all in charge. As I have mentioned to you several times, I can't get over this crap about, you know, women's rights and women's this and women's this. I grew up in a land where women were in charge both at work and at school and at home. The thought that a man could be in charge of anything was unheard of. You know, are you kidding me? Men drove. That's what men got to do. When we were all in the car, the dad got to drive. He was in charge of driving, which meant that he was in charge of complaining about the tolls and the traffic and the price of gas. That was his social expression. Tolls, price of gas, traffic. That was it. What else do I have to tell you? But no, that's all I remember. That's all I remember of how it worked. That's how it worked. This is Sterling on Sunday. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and we are live coast to coast from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. on the East Coast and 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. on the West Coast. There's nothing else live at this time. Don't go looking around. You don't go poking in the closet. There's nothing in there for you. There's nothing in there for you. I don't know why any radio station runs best ofs. Then they run like a three or four day old program. They go, here's a best of. It's not a best of. If it's a talk show and it's a repeat, it's a worst of, because you can't call in. If you can't call into a talk show, that is a worst of. And then there's some really stupid stations that run the audio of a television news show on Sunday night. They take the audio of a television news show and run it on Sunday night. You know what that means? That means they've taken the audio of a script that was prepared on Thursday and had the audacity to insult you by running it on Sunday night. Shame on them. Here we are, all shiny and live, just for you. This is Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hul of Muskegon, Michigan. How do you artificially inseminate a female guppy? Details later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Two Florida pool boys take down the president of an evangelical university. Well, technically, they took down his wife. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part one of Florida Stories.
Do you want to keep losing your hair? That's silly. There's no need to. There's no need to. Go to keeps.com. 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 Go to keeps.com. And what do you find there? You're going to find prescriptive products that will help you stop losing hair and restore your hair. That's what happened for me. Does it work for everybody? Nothing works for everybody. But why not find out? Why keep losing your hair? Why keep losing your hair? That's crazy talk. It's insane. Go to keeps.com, K-E-E-P-S.com. Get the information. See what it's about. Here's what they did for me. They asked me a few questions. Who? A doctor asked me a few questions, and he gave me the right prescriptives, the right dosages, the right combination of products, and they were sent to me. These are reasonably priced. They're especially reasonably priced when you put in the promo code Walter. Put in the promo code Walter, and instantly you'll see it. You'll see that the price is cut in half. The promo code Walter cuts the price in half. Isn't that remarkable? What a great thing. Promo code Walter for 50% off. 50% off. You go to keeps.com and you keep your hair. You stop losing your... Wait, you're still losing your hair? A minute ago I told you to stop losing your hair. Why are you waiting? Why? Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. Stop losing your hair. Go to KEEPS.com, keeps.com, and then go to the Walter M. Sterling Facebook page, where you'll see a video of how much hair I've gotten back and how happy I am. Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. Your hair will get happy. It's hard to explain, but now when I run my fingers through my hair, it feels happy. My hair feels happy. Keeps.com, promo code Walter. This is all that
it takes. Can you guess the mystery voice? Sterling on Sunday.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. Have you noticed how many national scandals have some sort of touch on Florida? A great example is this week, Jerry Falwell Jr. He runs an evangelical college, and it's been sort of a controversy because he likes to watch his wife do adult things with the pool boy. But isn't it amazing that both of these pool boys are from where? That's right, Florida. So who didn't see this coming? We have a guy who's president of a university, which means he's really passionate about the well-being of 20-somethings, likes to share his wife with pool boys, and they're from Florida. It's so beautiful. It's poetry. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
For our next Florida story, we go to Delray Beach, where the Planning and Zoning Board just got a boost with their new member. It's Max Weinberg. He's been Bruce Springsteen's drummer. He was drummer on when Conan O'Brien had his own late night show. But that's not all that's on his resume. He was also the drummer for Meatloaf on a couple tours, Bonnie Tyler, and Air Supply. But he's officially the newest member of the Delray Beach Planning and Zoning Board, which is a great example of how unnecessary these zoning boards are. Hey, you can't let the guy who owns that property decide what's going to be built on it. Oh, okay, so who do we ask? Let's go ask the drummer from Air Supply. Oh, sure, that makes sense. And since I'm a dad, I have to say it's good to see the Delray Beach Planning and Zoning Board won't miss a beat. For our next Florida story, we're going to St. Lucie County. 58-year-old man was pulled over. Cops had a tip that he was on his way to a drug deal. Sure enough, in the back seat, deputies found a bag containing almost a pound of cocaine. When they searched his house, they also found another bag of cocaine directly on top of a stack of bacon. That just seemed incredibly random that he would keep his bag of cocaine on top of a stack of bacon in the fridge. Although that would make for interesting conversation around the house. Honey, where's the bacon? Oh, yeah. It's on the second shelf right under the cocaine. Stay tuned. Today's second installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Florida Stories is a Spring Rock production, springrockmedia@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @JamesParkerShow. For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
You and I are driving across the country on this hot summer night. This is the best time of year. We get to hear radio stations across the country, like KMOX, where Ryan Recker, who's on late at night, just had a brand new baby. Congratulations, Ryan. And thank you for those very special times when I get to fill in for you. They are some of the most fun that I have. Walter M. Sterling, Sterling on Sunday. Many experts right now, like there are experts running around right now deciding whether or not my children should go back to school. I have an expert opinion about this. Here's my expert opinion. Unless you have school-age children yourself, you have no opinion. It is not for you to decide. I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to read your newspaper columns or see your official nonsense on TV. You get to have no opinion. When they describe a classroom at this time of year, they're describing a petri dish. They're describing the same environment as those cars that are sealed and there are dead toddlers in them. It gets to be 100 degrees inside the car. There's no air. The doors are locked. No one can go anywhere. And the kids die. Who knew? They put these kids in classrooms that are not air conditioned. Shut the doors. Shut the windows. We don't need the noise from outside, says the teacher. We don't need the noise from outside. And then kids spread germs instantly. Throughout my life, when I have a kid in elementary school, at some point an email goes home that says, listen, if your kid's in school and the kid has a sniffle, a cough, a fever, please don't send the kid to school because they know it will spread instantly to other kids. Or here's a better example, a more dramatic example, and I'm a talk show host. You want dramatic examples. Lice. Oh, my God, your kid has lice? One kid in this room had lice. Then all the kids have to be tested, have to put on the stinky stuff. All their hats have to be burned. Oh, my God, lice. Or bed bugs. One of the children report that there are bed bugs. I mean, bed bugs. How are there bed bugs in the classroom? But the rumor of bed bugs is enough to shut down a classroom. Meanwhile, COVID, whatever, a fatal disease, kills people almost instantly. They're debating this? No. I am keeping my children home. My children will be learning over the computer, and it's a much better deal. It's a much better deal. They get comfy chairs. They can get breaks when they want. They don't have to take some really embarrassing pass with them to go to the bathroom. They get a better lunch. Forgive me, I know it's politically incorrect to mention this, but there was a time when kids came home for lunch. Did you know that? There was a time when elementary school children came home for lunch. Why? Because a parent was home. And then the parent would know what that kid was up to and make sure the kid would get the kind of lunch that the parent wanted. But I can't mention any of that. No, no, no. God forbid. But now the kid will be home for lunch. I think in general, this is better. But every kid's different. Some kids will learn well on the computer. My 8-year-old learns much better on her computer than she does in school because she's distracted by everything. Hey, you got a ponytail, she's distracted. She's like a kitten, not a cat, a kitten. And then my 15-year-old has a lot of trouble learning on the computer. Every child's different. And there are ways to compensate for that, but there's no way to compensate if the kid gets a fatal disease. There's no way to compensate if the kid gets a fatal virus. That's a whole different problem. I'm keeping my kids home. And if you have kids who are of school age, I'd like to know what you're doing and what you're telling people. My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. If you call in, you'll have a chance to guess the mystery voice. Everybody who guesses the mystery voice correctly wins a prize announcement and guppies from Velo Hool. No, really. You'll win guppies.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that.
Stop. You know, Sipowicz very anxious to get going. Very, very determined. But we have a big show coming up. I have the usual edition coming up, the drive-through brew. We're going to go over exactly this Jerry Falwell business because I have a very different point of view on this. And we're going to hear what Joan Rivers has to say all of this. It's a big show. And I will reveal to you new updates on the situation in Portland, and I have more stories about my family. For some reason, whenever I tell stories about my family, you want to hear more stories about my family. But the key story tonight is I am not sending my kids to school. They're not going to school. They're going to stay at home. What is the big deal? I don't view it as a big deal. And then the arguments I hear, well, you know, they should go to school or else kids commit suicide. Really? I can't think of a 9-year-old who's going to commit suicide because they don't have to go to school. Instead, they're going to be celebrating. They're going to be celebrating. 888-688-9258, Sterling on Sunday.
Was this man? What was it?
Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling on Sunday weather. 1 week later and Laura is finally gone. But the tropics are still very busy because tonight we have a cousin of Laura, as it were, a mid-level circulation that's plugged into Florida tropical moisture and is now off the Georgia-Carolina coast, capable of becoming a named tropical storm by tomorrow or Tuesday. But don't worry, it won't hit any landmasses. However, there's another wave in the Caribbean that will hit landmasses. It's currently labeled Invest 99L, and it's headed for the Yucatan, possibly to be named tomorrow, and the next name will be Nana. Then there are two more waves off Africa. One with little chance of making it, the other a better chance after Labor Day. Meanwhile, the recovery in Texas, Louisiana, and Arkansas from Laura is just getting started, and there are months ahead to return to just normal services. We also have a severe thunderstorm watch over the northern plains tonight, heat advisories, Texas and Louisiana, flood watches for monsoon rains in Arizona, and no rain for the wildfires. And it may get cooler after Labor Day. That would be nice, even briefly. Meteorologist John Weatherby, weather reports at 6 and 36 minutes past the hour all night on Sterling on Sunday.
It's 7 minutes past the hour, 7 minutes past the hour. We're now with KFBK in Sacramento, the domain of Bill White, a brilliant broadcaster. Bill White, a brilliant broadcaster. Would you do me a favor? James, would you do me a favor? Would you get in touch with the other James and tell him I want him to come on and talk about the bison or whatever it was that he wanted to talk about? Aaron in Bend, Oregon, I say my kids should not be in school. Nobody's kids should be in school. That's my opinion. 888-688-WALT. Hello, Aaron.
How you doing?
I am thrilled to be talking to you.
Good, good. So, you know, I'm 30 years old and I don't have kids. I do want kids. It's a goal in my life. But so I guess my question is, in previous years, you know, during flu season, when flu season was really bad, did you take your kids out of school during flu season?
We were told not to let our kids go to school if they were showing signs of the flu. Many schools would shut down if it got bad, if it was swept the school. And I would take them out if they were really young. Yes. So the answer is yes.
Okay. So, I mean, I agree. I think that's a smart move to do, but I feel like a lot of people are doing this push to say, you know, we need to, first of all, I've seen a lot of statistics on how COVID affects younger people. And it's really a very small percentage compared to, I mean, the older you get, the more deadly COVID is to you. And especially if you're obese, it's even worse. And I understand if we put all these school kids, you know, together and then it gets passed around and they can come home, they can bring it to their parents. But it seems like that's always been the situation with the cold or any disease or any flu or anything like that. A kid can go to school, he can get the flu, he can go home and see grandma, and then grandma dies from it. And so what's baffling to me is why this disease, and this disease in general, has changed our entire way of thinking.
I believe the reason it has changed our entire way of thinking is the following. Number one, nobody knows how it works. Nobody knows its pathology. There is no known cure. No one actually knows where it started. No one knows how it's going to stop. Did you see the first X-Files movie?
I did not.
You would like the first X-Files movie. I can tell by your voice. The first X-Files movie shows these kids who get dropped into a cave in the middle of America. They find an opening to a cave. And they go in this cave, and about 8 seconds later, they're all dead. Because the original viruses from aliens had landed in that cave and had gotten covered up centuries ago. Because they believed that the original inhabitants of America, of the world, were the original aliens, were viruses. That's where I think
gotcha.
We are. That nobody knows anything.
I mean, this is crazy. Get rid of it.
888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. That's my phone number. I have three kids. I have a 15-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a kid in college. Now, we've talked to the kid in college on the air on Sterling on Sunday. Here's what they had to go through. She goes to Syracuse University. She had to get up there 2 weeks before her classes started. She was quarantined for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. She had to sit in a dorm. Here's a freshman, a girl, scared out of her mind. First time away from home, she's sitting in a dorm, not air conditioned. I'm obsessed with things being air conditioned. They need to be air conditioned. Sitting in a dorm, not air conditioned. The food from the cafeteria is brought up to her room. Do you got that? The food was brought up to her room. Could she get delivery from a pizza place? No. Could anything be brought to her? No. One parent could bring her up, just one. They had to be tested several times. They would actually test bathroom water. toilet water to see if anybody had any disease. And that went on for a couple weeks until Governor Cuomo changed who could get into the state and who couldn't. It was nuts, and it's still nuts. And now she's sitting there at this school, which costs a fortune, costs the price of a house. And she's doing online computer learning. 95% of her classes are online. I'm like, why is she at that university rather than at home? Why isn't she home? Why does she have socialization? They're not allowed to talk to anybody. That's the kicker. They get near each other on campus. They go out to the quad. They get too close to each other. Boom, it's in the New York Times. I swear to God. Article in the New York Times, these kids are getting too close to each other. There'll be disciplinary action. Really? That's their welcome? Disciplinary action for standing too close to each other outside. And the reason for that insanity is that nobody knows how this disease works. Nobody knows how this virus works. They don't know its pathology. They don't have a cure. They don't know how it got here. And therefore, everybody's acting stupid. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. So I am not sending my kids to school. I have two kids. I have one in elementary school, one in high school. They're not going to the school. It's no big deal to do over the computer learning. And besides, they get better lunches. It's a better deal for the kids. Mary in Kansas City, Missouri, listening on KMBZ. Welcome to the fastest growing show in network radio. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Hey.
I just explained to our local school's HR person this week that I would try to help them. I'm a retired registered nurse with a lot of experience, some with masks, inoculations, all kinds of experience. And she wanted me to, you know, she wanted to know if I would come babysit with a room full of sick kids. And I said, no, you know, I'm 73. If I can do something helpful, but their parents need to take care of them if they're sick.
Your point is that you were happy to volunteer and help out.
When we get a vaccine, if we're going to give it, we're going to set up a plan and give it. We're going to deal with it. I can identify kids who are sick, but they don't. They should not keep them at school if they're sick.
Yes.
They should go home.
That's right. They should not be at school if they're sick. They're not. They should not be at school if they have the high potential to be sick. Every teacher we ever had said, don't send your kid in with sniffles or a fever or a cough. We don't want them until they're better. They can't learn, and they're going to make somebody else sick. But I want to talk to you about something more important. You're a registered nurse, right?
Right, and okay. They're all my kids. Even though I don't currently care for one in my home, they are my kids.
That's because you're a real nurse. There is nothing that I respect more than a registered nurse. Nobody works harder than a registered nurse. No one has harder training than a registered nurse. And let me tell you, you do not want a doctor to draw blood. You don't want a doctor to draw blood. You only want a registered nurse to draw blood. When I'm at a doctor's office or I have to get a blood sample, I'll sit there and I'll look at who's ever around. I say, I don't want a doctor to do this. I want the senior registered nurse. I want the registered nurse who has drawn blood more than anybody else here. And they look at me scary. But I'm right, aren't I?
Yeah, probably so. It's in the luck of the draw.
Right.
Experience helps.
Mary. Mary, God bless you. Thank you for listening to Sterling on Sunday. I appreciate the call.
I mean, this is crazy. Get rid of it.
James Copeland is sitting out in Winnebago in the middle of where? Where are you, James?
We're in northern Minnesota this evening.
And what is it, 14 below?
No, it's actually quite pleasant. We've had the highs in the 70s today, and we'll get down to the 50s tonight. So it's a good place to spend August.
Now, James, you saw some unusual wildlife activity. Would you share that with us?
So I didn't see this myself, but as you know, and some of our listeners know, I listen to radio basically all day and all of the night. So the other day I was listening to KRVN out of Lexington, Nebraska, and heard a breaking news report about 125 bison that were loose. And so they were chasing them around all over the place. And they were encouraging people not to take care of the bison themselves, to leave them alone and that sort of thing. And apparently made national news. So that was kind of an interesting story that came out this week, and they're still trying to round them up. I did not know that the bison is a national mammal.
What'd you think, it was a reptile?
Yeah, really. No, but we have a lot of bison in Kansas where I'm from, but I had no idea in 2016 that it's our national mammal. So hopefully someone learned something new tonight.
It's our national mammal. You're saying we have a national mammal and it's a bison?
As of 2016.
Wow. Wow. Now, what are your plans for tomorrow since you're in a Winnebago in upper Michigan?
So, Minnesota, and of course you have to, you know, do the accent and everything and say bag when you're at the grocery store. But I will maybe do some laundry in my little washing machine. We're completely on solar power and whatever water I can haul. So it's a very interesting existence right now.
You have a Winnebago with a solar-powered washer.
Yes, it is. It's a little Japanese washing machine that's all plastic, and it's very small. Everything has to be very small.
It's pretty impressive. Are you adjusting to life in the Winnebago? Are you glad you made this life choice?
Yes, it's interesting downsizing everything to 200 feet, but I think anyone can do it with some amount of willpower.
Hmm. Well, you know, you're a good friend of the show and a good friend of mine. Thank you very much, James.
Thank you.
I mean, this is crazy. Get rid of it.
All right, coming up in just seconds, we're going to hear from an expert on online porn addiction. Pornography, it seems, can be addictive. We're going to find out everything we want to know about this, which is, of course, everything. Then at midnight or 9 p.m. on the West Coast, one of the greatest psychics in the world will share time with you and me, because she is the ultimate misfit. And I have many questions for the ultimate psychic in the world. It's a big show coming up, plus we have the usual edition, drive-through brew, and you. This is Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hul of Muskegon, Michigan. How do you artificially inseminate a female guppy? Details later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Holy hell, what in God's name has Pasigrill Beach right outside of St. Petersburg smelling so bad? For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part two of Florida Stories.
Walter M. Sterling, the Facebook page. Go there right now, and you will see what Keeps.com has done for my hair. I have more hair than I did at the beginning of this powerful campaign on Sterling on Sunday. That's right. I have more hair, thicker hair, better hair, happier hair. When you run your fingers through my hair, and I hope you do, my hair is happier. It's hard to explain, but that's what happened for me. Go to Keeps.com. Do you have a lover who's been losing his hair or even her hair? There's no reason to. Take them to Keeps.com. Let them see what this is. This is a professional, real company run by doctors, and the doctors will prescribe exactly the right hair restoration products for you. That's right. It isn't just, you know, they send out a box of the same stuff to everybody. No, no, no. They ask you a few questions, and they make sure you have the right combination of products in the right dose. I have a pill, serum, shampoo, works together and helps me stop losing my hair and restores my hair. Does it work for everybody? No, nothing works for everybody, but this works for me. This works for me. It's called Keeps.com. That's the website. You go there and you get information about the product and then buy it. Put in my name, Walter, and you get 50% off. 50% off. 50, not 15, not 5, 50. It's a real discount because you're a real fan of Sterling on Sunday, the most powerful and entertaining network radio show there has ever been. When am I going to be in the Radio Hall of Fame? Go to Keeps.com, Keeps.com, Keeps.com. Get the information. Stop losing your hair. do it right now, unless you want to wake up in the morning and see more hair on the pillow. Is that what you want? Is that what will make you happy? Go to Keeps.com, enter the promo code Walter.
Sterling on Sunday.
That thing in your pocket is a germ carrier. Yes, it's carrying a lot of germs right now in your pocket because you put it on the counter, you handed it to your messy kid, and now you put it in your pocket. I'm talking about your phone. And now you can clean it off in less than 5 minutes, making 99.9% germ and virus free by putting it in this beautiful little box. And the name of the box is the Clean Phone. That's the name of the product. It's a noun. The Clean Phone. You put your phone in there, or your keys, or your credit cards, whatever you take out all day. You put it in the box, and it becomes 99.9% germ-free and virus-free. It's amazing. No liquids. You don't want to pour liquid on your phone. That's crazy talk. You put in my name, and you get free two-day shipping. Where do you get it? At thenewdealshop.com. The name of the website is thenewdealshop.com. Thenewdealshop.com.
Sterling on Sunday.
Sunday is treat day.
Sterling on Sunday weather. Your forecast tomorrow is very summer-like for the last day of August. Hot and humid with late-day showers and thunderstorms. In fact, a quick-moving system is crossing the Great Lakes tonight into tomorrow. Rain and embedded thunder from Washington, D.C. all the way down to Miami, through the Carolinas, across Georgia, and spreading west into the Tennessee Valley. Severe thunderstorms over Oklahoma, North Texas, quiet way out west. Tuesday, more severe weather in basically the same place, moving southeastward into Texas, heavier showers for Florida, and moving into New York City, too. Wednesday and Thursday, more late-day thunder in Florida, but a general rain and some thunder from San Antonio to Pittsburgh. Then Friday, less rain across the country, almost quiet to start the Labor Day weekend. By then, we'll have a better idea on the tropics, and note there's no rain from the wildfires yet. Some 86 fires burning out of control, though the weekend weather did help a little bit in the southwest, Southern California portions of Arizona. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby. Weather reports at 6 and 36 minutes past the hour all night on Sterling on Sunday.
The drive-through brew. Drive your car into the little building and suddenly you're wrapped in beer. It's overwhelming. Now manager reveals news to beer hand Jake.
Oh, no, those New Yorkers are leaving the city and coming here. They are coming here.
Here? What would a New Yorker want here?
Your job. Look at this application from an Upper West Sider. It says she's an expert in portobellos, truffles, craft beer, and Percocet and Tramadol, which is called Percocet Light.
Are those beers?
Upper West Siders in the beer bar? It can't end well. That's next time.
Tony Overbay. Tony Overbay is an expert in online porn and porn addiction. And Tony, the first thing I have to say to you is, who knew you could be addicted to this? I thought this was a terrific way to spend spare time.
Hey, I get that question all the time. I do. And I appreciate having an opportunity to come on and even talk about it. And, you know, I have to tell you, when you came on and said an expert in online porn, oftentimes people kind of stop right there. And I think people think that I'm in the opposite end of the business, you know?
Yeah, but answer my question.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing is that my job, Walter, is to help people with where they're at. So I'm not one who's out on a crusade to tell people that, you know, if for some reason, if they feel like pornography is a part of their relationship, that sort of thing. I mean, you know, I'm not trying to tell them, hey, you need to wake up or you need to really look at that differently. But I worked with now 12 to 1300 individuals, and I've got an online program that helps people as well. And it's people that feel like it is starting to interfere in their lives or interfere with their relationships, or they turn to pornography as more of a coping mechanism, so they aren't quite getting the most out of, you know, fill in the blank, their job as a parent, their relationship, their work life, that sort of thing. So it's really trying to help people put that behind them if that's what they are hoping to do.
Tony Overbay, do you believe that because of the pandemic and people sitting at home and not being able to date, not being able to go out with their partner, not being able to look for partners, do you believe the consumption of online porn has increased?
Yeah, absolutely it has, Walter. And there's some data by one of the largest online pornography websites in the world that backs that up. And they say that their traffic has increased up to 20 to 25% since the pandemic. And I think that one of the key things, again, if I go back to, you know, what I feel as it, seeing people that turn to pornography as more of a coping mechanism, it really is the triggers, so to speak, are, you know, I don't think it's as much as somebody seeing a beautiful person and then them wanting to turn to pornography. And I've been doing this about 15 years now, and I call them, you know, crimes of opportunity. It's boredom. It's loneliness. It's the brain doesn't really like to feel any of those negative feelings. So when we have this kind of great unknown ahead of us where we don't really know what's coming next, when our kids will go back to school, when we might be going back to work, you know, when the economy might recover, then we get a lot of uncertainty and we get a lot of those feelings that we just don't like. And then that coupled with time and again, these crimes of opportunity, people have the opportunity, then the brain wants to numb out. It wants to turn to things that it will, you know, hopefully give it a quick fix, and things like pornography. I mean, we're seeing an increase in a lot of things right now, especially as a therapist. I'm seeing that in my office, but everything from online gambling, food, pornography, you know, you name it.
Food, pornography, gambling. Sounds like a good time to me, Tony. These sound like goals. These sound like aspirational activities.
Okay, you know, it's great. I mean, I appreciate that, Walter. And that's exactly where the brain is a big fan of a temporary fix, you know. And I feel like the more that there is that kind of instant gratification, the more that we've kind of created this, that's the neural pathways that we've created. You know, when we know that we can get that quick fix, the last thing that a lot of people want to do is then fix that salad or, you know, read a book or even read a newspaper these days. It's like, what can they get immediately? What can they consume now? And so, you know, good time for a moment, but maybe not the greatest thing in the long run.
My key problem is Duncan Hines marble cake with icing from the can. There's no way that I can eat one piece of Duncan Hines marble cake with icing from the can. One piece will not do it. And that's pretty much...
Especially if it's warm, right?
Yes. That's pretty much what I'm down to.
Okay.
20 years ago, I had my last cigar, and I never smoked cigarettes. I'm pretty much down to Duncan Hines marble cake with icing and online porn. And therefore, it's hard for me to understand why online porn is a problem, because like, what is that possibly taking away from?
So here, and again, this is my experience, and I have to throw my psychology card down here. If I am going to try to tell someone something that is not something that they are seeking help for, we've got this amazing thing called psychological reactance. It's one of my favorite concepts, and that is that instant negative reaction of being told what to do. So that's why I started out the way I did, and I know that joke kind of fell flat when I jumped on here. But when I'm, you know, if somebody's telling me, hey, I don't think I need to stop, then if I'm telling them, yes, you do, we've got this innate psychological reactance built in. You know, the person's not going to say, oh, I think you're right. You know, maybe I do. But when people come to me and it's affecting their marriage, their job, their parenting, you know, they feel like they're not really, you know, living their best life, then that's when I can say, okay, we can work with that. So I kind of want to just put that out there right now. But to answer your question, what I typically see is that when people maybe have more of this turning to maybe, and I know it's going to sound like a cliche or a tagline, but pixels rather than people, that there is an opportunity that I feel like they're missing out on.
Listen,
to turn to their partner, you know, to be more present with their partner.
Stop.
Stop.
By the way, do you have the radio on, Tony?
I do not.
Okay, good. Listen, I can't think of anything better than turning to pixels rather than people. Pixels, they don't talk too much. They don't have questions that annoy me in the morning.
You're talking to a marriage therapist here. I can help with that. I can help the people have those good conversations.
My mistress is solitude. Please just leave me alone. I want to talk to you coming up in just seconds, Tony Overbay, about what are your qualifications for this? I want to know who you are.
You
talking to Tony Overbay, who's a, I don't know, he's got some hocus pocus.
Licensed marriage and family therapist. There we go.
Yeah, the black arts. It's 44 past the hour, and this is Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hul of Muskegon, Michigan. How do you artificially inseminate a female guppy? Details later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
I'm Walter Sterling, and I'm going to tell you something that could save your life, that could keep you from getting the virus. Would you like that information? There are two things that could profoundly keep you safe and healthy. You get them at the New Deal Shop, thenewdealshop.com, thenewdealshop.com. thenewdealshop.com. What do you get there? Well, you get the masks. Now, you're going to have to buy the masks anyway. There's no reason to go to a hardware store or a supermarket to get medical masks. You get them at the New Deal Shop, and you get the same kind of mask that first responders use, the KN95 masks. The KN95 mask. They protect you and the people around you. The KN95 mask. You get them at the New Deal Shop. .com. The other thing you get at thenewdealshop.com is something that is an amazing product. It's a box that sanitizes your cell phone and prevents it from spreading germs. You put it in this box for 5 minutes, and all germs and viruses are removed. Go to the homepage of thenewdealshop.com, thenewdealshop.com, and you'll see these two products. They'll be right there on the homepage. You'll see the clean phone and the KN95 masks are right there on the homepage. Buy them both. Buy them both. You're going to have to buy the masks anyway. And why carry around a dirty phone? I mean, really, think about it. Why carry around a dirty phone? Now, when you put in my name, Walter, in the promo box, you get free two-day shipping. That's important because you're going to want these products right away. You're going to want these products right away. You go to thenewdealshop.com, promo code Walter, and get the clean phone and get KN95 mask. These are things that will keep you healthy and prevent you from spreading germs to the family that you love. The New Deal Shop.
Live from an all-American laundry room, it's Sterling on Sunday.
No, really, I'm in my laundry room. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. It's a big, powerful network radio show. Right now, you and I are talking to Tony Overbay. Tony Overbay is a psychologist, an expert. What are you? Are you a psychologist? What are you?
Marriage and family, licensed marriage and family therapist.
Where do you get these licenses? At the motor vehicle agency? Where do these licenses come from?
It takes a little bit more than that. It was actually issued from the state of California. So you can kind of fill in a joke there, I'd imagine.
Do you have a PhD?
No. So that's a clinical psychologist. So I have a master's and then about a good 15 years of experience. So that's where I'm kind of coming from.
Where did you get to be an expert on online porn? Was this from personal experience?
So I did 10 years in the computer software industry, and it was one of those, I felt this call to go back and get my master's in counseling. It was something I had always wanted to do during my undergrad, and I wanted to work with men, but I really didn't realize that once I got into practice, men don't come into counseling. And so when they do come in, they were coming in for things like compulsive sexual behavior, impulse control disorder, and it was manifesting through pornography. And so, you can teach behavioral solutions all day long, but it really wasn't getting at the heart of why people turn to coping mechanisms. Like I mentioned earlier, whether it's food, whether it's porn, whether it's gambling. And so then I start looking at, it's really, they're kind of feeling maybe some areas of deficiency in their parenting and their marriage and their career and their health, maybe in their faith. And so I started kind of working on all of those areas. So I didn't set out to work with pornography addiction per se, but it was to work with men and men's issues. And that was the number one issue that was coming into play. There's a lot of data now that kind of shows that there's an element of pornography addiction or compulsive sexual behavior that is in over half of the divorces now. And I think that's even being underreported. And as I was mentioning earlier, I mean, I only work with the people that come to me and say, I need help. That's why I'm saying, if you and your mistress have a wonderful relationship, then my job is not to try and tell you, you need to change that relationship.
How do you get somebody to overcome a, quote, addiction to online porn? Do you give them those little shocks?
No, that's actually, that is the last thing. When I got into this field over a decade ago, there were a few of us that were doing this more of a strength-based approach. So you know, you actually take the shame out of the whole thing. And really, it's, you know, you learn to use some nice mindfulness skills and recognize these impulses, these thoughts, you know, when people are feeling these deficiencies in other areas of life, that they're just thoughts. And we've got hundreds and hundreds of thoughts that are going through our mind at any time. But we really attach a lot of meaning or belief to certain ones that tend to say, hey, I got to act out. I need to turn to, you know, some kind of coping mechanism. So really, mindfulness is one of the main techniques that you use to overcome this. But it's really taking the, you know, when somebody does relapse or whatever the phrase is that they want to use, you just kind of note it. You don't beat yourself up about it. And then you try to turn toward more positive behavior. So that's where I have people that are really starting to kind of do a lot more with their work, parenting, marriage, the health, those sort of things. So you're really trying to do this. Yeah, go ahead.
What kind of deficiency tends to lead somebody to an excessive use of online porn? What sort of deficiency would drive them to pornography?
Yeah, and I'll make this really quick, Walter, I promise. But, you know, so there first has to be some sort of a sexualization early. And a lot of that now might be whether it's sexual abuse or if it's really early exposure to porn. Right now, the data shows that online porn first exposure is around 8 to 11 years old. And so, you know, you look at that now, and here's somebody that was just, you know, busy minding themselves in fourth or fifth grade, and all of a sudden they're exposed to parts and pieces and videos and pictures. And now they've, you know, become sexualized. And so at that point, you know, that becomes exciting. That kind of becomes this concept of the forbidden other. And so now, you know, they're kind of off on this this kind of looking for that throughout their early childhood, teens, that sort of thing. And so that does become kind of this go-to fix for the brain of whenever they're bored, whenever they're angry, whenever there's some acronyms. One of them is HALT, hungry, angry, lonely, tired, you know, any of these things that people start to then the brain says, hey, I know what we can do. You know, we'll turn to porn. And as porn has become more and more easily accessible, especially for youth, that just becomes more of this very quick fix or easy to go to. And so then when people get older, you know, then that just becomes the brain's very used to whenever there is any of these, and maybe deficiency sometimes sounds like a dramatic phrase, but just boredom, you know, loneliness, opportunity. Then the brain says, hey, you know, there, we could write that great American novel, or we could go look at porn.
Yeah,
you know?
But I don't see how, if somebody is bored and they look at porn, that this is a problem. I don't understand why this is something that needs therapy. Wait a second.
Wait.
If you'd like to talk to Tony Overbay, who's a licensed therapist and can cure porn addiction, here's the number. It's 888-688-9258, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Tony, how does, if you're bored and you go to watch online porn, how is this a problem?
So, all right, so here's where, again, if that becomes the way the brain loves patterns. The brain loves, we've got a whole part of our brain that is for habits, for whether it's tying our shoes or turning to porn. You know, and so the more that we reinforce that part of the brain, that habitual part that says, I am bored, turn to porn, the more that we are not, you know, living our best lives, the more we're not spending more time with kids, with our spouse, the more we're not writing the great American novel or exercising or, you know, and that becomes a habitual pattern that people turn to more and more because it does deliver that dopamine rush to the brain. So that's when it starts to become a problem. Now, if people don't necessarily have these addictive tendencies or, you know, if they do feel pretty dialed in or satisfied in their life, then maybe that wouldn't be the problem. But again, I get people coming to me that are saying, I can't stop, you know, that that's where they're saying, hey, this is I can't not turn to porn when I'm bored, you know? So that's kind of where that comes in.
Wouldn't this be a situation where their significant other has told them you need to get help? They're not going to go get help on their own.
Yeah, you're kind of onto something there, Walter. I mean, really, and that's what I was saying earlier, which was kind of fascinating. When I wanted to work with men, typically they were coming because, quite frankly, they got caught, you know, or a wife kind of walks in, they're looking at porn, that sort of thing. And almost this, hey, go take care of this. And so I would typically get guys.
Well, he was taking care of it, and then she walked in.
It's a fair point. So then, yeah, but I mean, that's one of the things that was so difficult. You know, you get a guy in there once or twice, you know, you talk to him, he's like, okay, I'm good. You know, and then I still call that the scared straight phenomenon where, then for the next 30, 60 days, he doesn't do it. She says, you know, how are you? He's cured. He's fine. And then when he feels, again, the siren song of temptation, the boredom, the loneliness, the anger, you know, there's lack of intimacy
Tony Overbay, a licensed therapist who's an expert on online addiction, those are three very different things. Boredom, whatever else you said, and anger, those are very different.
Loneliness, frustration, yeah.
Those are very different things. And boredom, so he looks at porn online. Let me tell you something, and I appreciate you being with me tonight, Tony. What's the, how does somebody get in touch with you? What's the best way to get in touch with you?
Just head to TonyOverbay.com, and all roads lead there. They can find everything they need. I appreciate that.
I will put your link on the Walter M. Sterling page on Facebook. I'll put the link on Walter M. Sterling on Facebook. But let me tell you what my brilliant wife did when we got married. You want to know?
Okay.
Because she knew I had been a guy alone for a long time. My brilliant wife did this when we got married. She gave me a subscription to Playboy. And what that did is she could walk in at any time. She wasn't going to be surprised. It made it not a big deal. And I really lost a dramatic amount of interest in the Playboys after that.
I can understand that. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You know, it was like, listen, you want to look at this? Here, I'll get you the subscription. And that was the smartest thing she did.
I mean, this is crazy. Get rid of it.
Thanks, Tony Overbay. I appreciate you being on Sterling on Sunday. We've got a lot coming up for you. We have the usual edition, My Hatred of Public Radio. What else have I got for you? Oh, Velo Hul will going to share with us information about his guppies. And you can win guppies from Velo Hul when you call in if you guess the mystery voice. This is a big show. It's a powerful network show. It's called Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling on Sunday weather, 1 week later and Laura is finally gone. But the tropics are still very busy because tonight we have a cousin of Laura, as it were, a mid-level circulation that's plugged into Florida tropical moisture and is now off the Georgia-Carolina coast, capable of becoming a named tropical storm by tomorrow or Tuesday. But don't worry, it won't hit any landmasses. However, there's another wave in the Caribbean that will hit landmasses. It's currently labeled Invest 99L, and it's headed for the Yucatan, possibly to be named tomorrow, and the next name will be Nana. Then there are two more waves off Africa, one with little chance of making it, the other a better chance after Labor Day. Meanwhile, the recovery in Texas, Louisiana, and Arkansas from Laura is just getting started, and there are months ahead to return to just normal services. We also have a severe thunderstorm watch over the northern plains tonight, heat advisories, Texas and Louisiana, flood watches for monsoon rains in Arizona, and no rain for the wildfires. And it may get cooler after Labor Day. That would be nice, even briefly. Meteorologist John Weatherby. Weather reports at 6 and 36 minutes past the hour all night on Sterling on Sunday.
This is the usual edition. A powerful radio show without commercials or words people understand. Now, Rachel Goldstein Shabazz.
I'm Rachel Goldstein Shabazz, and we use a lot of words people don't understand. This was a big week in politics. All the networks gave over 20 hours of primetime coverage to political conventions whose outcomes were never in doubt. For a review of these non-events, we embrace blind reporter James the Same.
These conventions were non-events. For reaction, our condenser microphones hit the streets of Sweden.
What do you recommend people visit when they come to Stockholm?
The Vasa Museum,
Djurgården,
Gröna Lund,
Kungsträdgården,
Skansen,
the Royal Palace,
the Archipelago,
the ABBA Museum.
And then there was this.
Stand for our flag.
This is a special convention edition of the usual edition. Our underwriter is Night Vision Goggles from Canada. Canada is the only country that offends no one. A perfect country.
I'm Rachel Goldstein Shabazz. Thank you for donating a lot of money to public radio.
There's Corby Mitlin. Thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. Hi, Corby.
Hi there. How are you?
Well, I'm thrilled that you're on my show because I know that you're an international psychic of note. You're an important member of the community. You rarely do shows like this, and I thank you for coming on my program, especially since you're in upstate New York. Now, upstate New York is a haunted place. And I went to college in Syracuse. My daughter's going to college in Syracuse. So we know bad weather and good pizza. That's about all that it has to offer.
Don't forget, what was it, M Street? Is M Street on Syracuse University? I went there for a summer program when I was in high school. Great college.
Very impressive that you know about M Street, Marshall Street, which, by the way, it's very sad, Corby, which is that when we were there, it was pretty cool, and it's gotten run down and dingy, and M Street isn't what it should be. It should be a cute shopping area for students, and now it's not. Corby, I have many questions for you. Here's my first question. First of all, I am a supporter and believer in what you do. Corby is a psychic, but a key psychic, not just, you know, a hobbyist. This is what Corby does. She is a psychic of note. She is a psychic of, she's a psychic's psychic. Other psychics revere her. They study her. They pay attention to what she does. One of the things that I think is fascinating is that you spend a lot of time focused on our souls, on who we are underneath, mm-hmm. underneath or above. Yes. Corby, when a baby is born, what do you believe that baby is born with? What do you think that baby brings in onto Earth?
Before we're born, we do what is called a pre-birth plan. Because remember, the brand new baby is only the latest package. The soul is already up there and fully mature and compassionate and endless. So the kid comes down with, if you will, their college ready to go. It's how I explain to people free will versus pre-birth plan. Let's say at Syracuse, I'm a theater major. Now, I could get through Syracuse taking lots of gut courses. That's one of those nice R&R lives where not a lot happens. Or I could do a double major of theater and creative writing, you know, double major, lots of labs. That's the lives where things are crazy. My life, cancer, divorce, abuse, the whole thing. But both ways, you graduate with your degree from Syracuse. So when the kid comes down, he has the potential of living a gut course life. But if, as he gets to certain learning points that the soul sets up before the kid comes down, that's when it's either stays gut course or he goes into a more complicated, if you will, course assignment. Because the soul sees us as a role, okay? Let me use Matt Smith. Matt Smith, he was my favorite doctor. He was the 11th doctor on Doctor Who. When he left that,
I would agree with you. I would agree with you. That's my favorite doctor.
There you go.
There you go.
And then he went and played Prince Philip in The Crown. A totally different kind of person. But Matt Smith was at the core of both of them. So Matt Smith is like a soul. The doctor and Prince Philip are the different incarnations. That's literally how it goes. That's why saying we come back life after life is correct and we only get one life is also correct.
When we're born and we start mm-hmm. to become who we are, Mm-hmm. I have noticed in my children, and I believe in myself, that there were certain factory installs. There were certain certain things that they were aware of or knew about that, by all rights, they should not have known about. They had a base level of knowledge that came from someplace other than their playpen, their friends, or their parents. They had this other knowledge that came from a different place, and at some point, they sort of lost that knowledge and started to learn what was going on in this world, but they came, it seemed to me, with a factory install.
Yes. We are all wired like the same house plant. That I will tell you. Just like all of us have 10 fingers. You put us in front of a piano, and some of us can pick out Chopsticks and Heart and Soul, and a few of us are Elton John. The factory inset with Elton was that he could play immediately hearing something once, and he had a brilliant sense of composition, and the piano was his muse. That was a factory set, okay? He wasn't sent to the Royal Academy to learn to play the piano until he was 3 years old and sat down at his parents' piano and started picking out a song he had just heard on the radio flawlessly. That's an example of the factory reset, factory install you're talking about. Does that make sense?
Yes. This is Corby Mitlay. We are privileged to have her. She's a psychic's psychic. This is a world-class psychic with astonishing insights into the soul and how to overcome fearlessness. And you can talk to her at 888-688-9258, 888-688-WALT. This is Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hul of Muskegon, Michigan. How do you artificially inseminate a female guppy? Details later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
You don't want germs. Right now you're carrying germs in your pocket, and this can be solved with a visit to the New Deal Shop. That's the name of the company, thenewdealshop.com. You go to thenewdealshop.com and boom, the first thing you're going to see is the Clean Phone. That's the name of the product, the Clean Phone. It's not an adjective, it's a noun. Remember, English class, this is a noun. It is a beautiful box, a beautifully designed box. You put your phone, your keys, your credit cards in there. Push the button. 5 minutes later, it comes out 99.9% germ-free and virus-free. Now, why is this important? Well, because your cell phone is a germ catcher. It's a germ catcher. Because you hand it to your kid to borrow, they play Minecraft on it, and kids drool. Whether they're 20 or 2, they drool on your phone. You put it on the counter at the supermarket, it picks up germs. You lay it down in your car, it picks up germs. This gets rid of them. The Clean Phone. That's what you want, right? A clean phone. So you put your phone in this box, and it erases, it removes 99.9% of the germs and viruses on your phone. It does it in 5 minutes. Well, how does it do it? It uses UV light. Sunlight. It uses UV light. The Clean Phone is only available at thenewdealshop.com. 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 Enter the promo code Walter for free 2-day shipping.
Sterling on Sunday.
How's that hair? You see it on your pillow every morning. Is that where you want your hair, or do you want it on your head? Keeps.com keeps your hair on your head. My experience, personal experience, is Keeps.com keeps your hair on your head. Keeps sells prescriptive products that maintain hair and help grow hair. That's right, prescriptive products, not some standard shampoo for everybody. These are custom selected for you, or as they like to say, curated. These products are curated just for you and dispensed by a doctor who will decide the right dosage for you based on a very quick questionnaire. This product has worked for me. Not only has it given me thicker hair, not only has my hair stopped falling out, it makes my hair happy. Get 50% off. 50% off. Put in my name, Walter. Go to Keeps.com. Why lose any more hair?
Let's go, go. Let's go, go, go with Chip Bob's Gold.
Now back to America's favorite network radio program, Sterling on Sunday.
Walter M. Sterling, Sunday night, 20 past the hour. Corby Mitlide. Corby Mitlide is a world-class psychic. And thank you so much for being on Sterling on Sunday. Do you believe in angels?
Oh, yeah. However, they don't look like the pretty little androgynous guys we see in the Hallmark stores for hanging on trees. Angels are incredibly powerful, energetic beings. Do we all have one? Yes. None of us are good enough to get through this life without a little help from upstairs. So everybody's got at least one angel that basically it's like they have our name in the back of their tunic as camp tags. You know, I belong to Walter, I belong to Corby. And I'll tell you, there's no other explanation as to why I walked out of a car accident that was pretty severe without a scratch.
My baby, who's now 8, from the time she could speak, as we were going to sleep, I'd say to her, do you see the angels? And she'd say, yes. And I'd say, how many angels are there? And she'd say, 5. And to this day, I'd ask her, do you see the angels? And she'd say, yes. And to this day, I say, how many are there? And she says, 5. She's very sure about this. There's no doubt in her mind that she has angels and that they're watching her. Tell me about that car accident. What happened at that car accident?
Well, it was the delights of upstate New York in the winter. And I was driving on a rural road and hit a patch of black ice under snow. I overcorrected. I took down a tree, a telephone pole, flipped my car, electrical wires all over it, and I wasn't wearing a seatbelt. At no time did I feel like this accident was that bad. It felt like an e-ticket for Disney. And when the car came to a stop, I sat for about 30 seconds, got out of the car, you know, upside down. I had a couple of bruises on my shoulders. My back was a little wrenched. I should have died. But the fact that I felt like someone else had the car for me, angel. When we saw it at the place it was taken afterwards, because I had to go to the hospital, every single door, back passenger, back driver, passenger door, smashed in. Driver's side, nothing. Somebody else was running the show there, and it sure wasn't me.
Yes, you were taken care of by your angels. People live their lives in fear. Too many people live their lives in absolute abject fear all day, all night. There are ways to get to fearlessness, but first I want to know, how do people get to fear? And then please share with us your method for how they get to fearlessness.
They have to remember the word fear. I learned this 40 years ago from Mary Kay Ash. Fear equals false evidence appearing real. When you are thinking about, let's say, a medical test, oh, my God, I have to go in for an endoscopy tomorrow. What if I choke on it? What if they find something? And turn it around. And what if they don't? There are some things there's nothing you can do. Perfect example. 2004. I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and at that point, I had just been married for a year and a half, still had my Dolly Parton figure, and the doctor said, sorry, we're going to take everything down. You're going to go from a Dolly Parton figure to a fat fire plug. Suck it up. Well, I went home terrified and cried for 24 hours because I'm normal, but then I said to myself, I have to find 3 reasons to be okay with this. I don't care how stupid they were, and so it was, you don't have them. You can't get cancer there. The top half is not going to get slammed in the refrigerator door at the doctor's every year, and every woman listening knows exactly what I'm talking about. And great, implants, I'll be perky till I'm 93. I can handle that. So instead of being fearful about what happened, I chose to concentrate on what I could find in it that was positive. Does that mean I was happy I got cancer? Hell no. But if you are in a situation that cannot be remedied, you find a way to go through it with grace. And as a matter of fact, I got out of Massachusetts General Hospital in 3 days and shopped for a bathing suit in 5. They hadn't seen that in 15 years. So fear keeps you paralyzed. You can't do anything. Depresses your immune system, and you spend so much time thinking about all the horrible things that might happen. When they don't happen, you're going to feel pretty dumb. So the way you get from fear to fear, fearlessness, a place called the Option Institute in Massachusetts that I went to for many years, they taught you stimulus belief response. There are three questions you ask yourself. What am I afraid of? Why am I afraid of this? What do I think would happen if I stopped being afraid of this? When you give yourself literally that option, you can see how different life can be. Giving yourself permission. Just because somebody else will be afraid of something doesn't mean you're stupid if you're not.
Yeah, that's Corby Mitleld. She's a psychic's psychic. She's a great psychic. And she will talk to you at 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. I am fascinated by everything you just said, especially the part where you said if you are in a situation that you cannot change, that you're stuck in, you have to find a way to get yourself comfortable. And that is a powerful statement because it gives a person a chance to be in control. And that takes courage, and it also takes focus. Now, the other thing is you believe that everybody is sort of a genie in their own life, that they can make their own magic. They can make something happen that no one else can make happen. Tell me what that means.
Mm-hmm. All right. You're looking at the title of my book, probably You've Got the Magic, Who Needs a Genie? Now, that was specifically about how to be what I call an A-lister at all the psychic fairs and holistic expos. My nickname was the Travel Channel because 45 weekends a year, I was on the road before the big bug adventure that we're all in. You don't have to copy somebody else's methodology. You don't have to think somebody else has all my answers. That actually goes right back to my first book, Clean Out Your Life Closet. Everybody buys self-help books thinking, they'll tell me what to do. And it's got the sexy title and the great cover, and maybe you read a couple of pages in Barnes & Noble, and yeah, I'll take it home. And you get it home, and you're reading it. What do you mean I have to go to the gym 3 times a day and be vegan? I'm not going to do that. And the book goes on the shelf. Clean Out Your Life Closet specifically says you have your own answers. And when you read the book, I can show you things about clarity, adaptability, simplicity, how to make friends with stress. But at the end of each chapter, you've got open-ended questions where you can take what I wrote and make it fit your life. Because that's the thing I want to tell you. If you go to a psychic, we are there in service, the best ones. We are not there to take over your free will. Thank you, I have my own. But it is important that you realize you're the final arbiter. You don't
right.
have to listen to us. Because even the best of us is only 85% accurate.
Right.
The only one 100% accurate is God, and he's not doing phone readings this week.
Right. Now, however, Corby Maitland will take will do one phone reading. She will do one photo reading tonight. If you have a need to talk to a psychic, if you have a question for the person who I think is the best psychic, we'll do one. And the number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258, because this is a live show. We are live coast to coast. Mm-hmm. It is an honor to be with you. And my number is 888-688-9258. A question for Corby Mitleld, who will answer one question. 888-688-9258. This is Sterling on Sunday. And it is just so much fun to be with you. Thank you for listening tonight.
Live from the laundry room, it's Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday weather. Your forecast tomorrow is very summer-like for the last day of August. Hot and humid with late-day showers and thunderstorms. In fact, a quick-moving system is crossing the Great Lakes tonight into tomorrow. Rain and embedded thunder from Washington, D.C. all the way down to Miami, through the Carolinas, across Georgia, and spreading west into the Tennessee Valley. Severe thunderstorms over Oklahoma, North Texas, quiet way out west. Tuesday, more severe weather in basically the same place, moving southeastward into Texas, heavier showers for Florida, and moving into New York City, too. Wednesday and Thursday, more late-day thunder in Florida, but a general rain and some thunder from San Antonio to Pittsburgh. Then Friday, less rain across the country, almost quiet to start the Labor Day weekend. By then, we'll have a better idea on the tropics, and note there's no rain from the wildfires yet. Some 86 fires burning out of control, though the weekend weather did help a little bit in the southwest, Southern California portions of Arizona. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby. Weather reports at 6 and 36 minutes past the hour all night on Sterling on Sunday.
Corby Mitlin is a world-class psychic. She is respected by other psychics. She's a successful author, and she's on Sterling on Sunday, something she never does. She rarely appears on radio shows, and she's right about that. Lauren, listening in KXNT in Las Vegas, welcome, Lauren. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Hi. Thank you so much.
Hey, Lauren. How are you?
Hi. I'm well. Thank you so much. So, am I to ask a question or?
Absolutely.
Let me give you the rules, my friend, real fast.
Sure.
You absolutely can ask a question. Tarot, oracle cards, spirit guides, angels, past lives. What I do not do on the air is mediumship, because they come through and I don't censor. And what they have to say to you, you may not want to go on the air. So mediumship is always private, but you got a practical question about what do I do with my everyday tour bus, house, car, job, kids? Okay, God, you put me here. Now what? I'm your girl.
Okay. Well, that's kind of where we are. I'm at a point in my life. I had a career before. I've had some health issues that have made it difficult for me to go back into that. I'm working on, on my health and on my weight, et cetera. I'm wondering if I'm on the right track with what I've discovered. I'm working very hard at it, and it's a little unusual, but I'm working with that. And I feel, you know, I'm 58, and I wonder, is there something more for me in my life that I'm going to do that makes a difference in the world? And I want to do things that are good and high and just make the world a better place. And I wonder if there's any room for me at this point. I felt kind of lost for many years about what my position is at this point in this world. Do you see what I mean?
Girlfriend, you ain't done. I'm 65, and I'm not done. So at 58, you're still a young chicken. Cut that out right now. Now, what I'm going to do for you is I'm going to pull from one of my oracle decks, Spirit of the Wheel. It's First Nations, Native American. And it is what you're here to do. So there's a card for why you incarnated this time. What's your passion? What are you going to teach the world? What's your legacy? But what is, as they say, the hub of your wheel? That means where you need to always come back to yourself to maintain your balance. So why did you come down here? It's the right berries moon. Life lessons, victory, and courage. You will teach others because you have not had that R&R life. You've had the tough stuff, but you sound like you're like me. You live the examined life. Okay, I've got this. What do I need to learn from it? And how can I teach others? What's your passion? Spiritual progress, success, and hope. That's the spirit path of the North. So you are not someone who sits on your keister and says, oh, poor me. You're someone who will, I'm literally, the download from spirit is you would yank yourself up that rope hand at a time and don't take no for an answer. What are you going to teach other people? Synchronicity, balance, certainty. What's the synchronicity about? When you look at your life and you see that spirit, God, is sending you the same message over and over and over, it'll come in different ways. You are sharp enough to see that and point that out to other people. Let's say that someone wants to lose weight and you can say, did you notice that you chose the different thing on the menu. Did you notice that you zeroed in on all of the commercials? Did you notice that you keep putting yourself down about your weight? So why should I bother? You see all of these things and you bring those synchronicities together. What is your legacy going to be when you transition back upstairs and go back to God? It's the great star nation, good fortune and grace. You are someone who will leave, it's what I call the vapor trail. You will change people by being part of their lives, even if it is just a one-time meeting. You have the spark that can get them to start thinking a little differently. But the hub of your wheel, where you always need to come back, it's introspection, new perspective, retreat, and unity, which means you will have to always put aside time for yourself. Women don't say no. They're told, no, yeah. You always have to do everybody else first. Well, I am going to give you a five-word mantra, darling. No is a fabulous idea, and I want you to practice that. Because you've worked so hard to teach yourself what you need, other people are going to come to you and say, how did you do that? I want to teach me. And you can, but you mustn't do it to the point of exhaustion. Like, I work 6 days a week. I read 1,200 people a year. You can't get me on Wednesday, baby. That's my day off with my husband. So, you know, you're dying. I'll send you to another psychic. But that's why you feel like you're not done yet, because you're not. You cannot teach until you've learned what it is you're going to teach, which is why some of the best teachers don't start teaching until they're in their 40s or 50s or 60s, like us. So you ain't done yet, and you got your work to do. You clear on that?
I get that. I do. And I appreciate that. Can I ask one quick thing? I keep on saying repeat numbers over and over. Like, I'll look at the clock, 11, 11, 11, you know, 6, 3, 3, 3, 3, 1, 1, 1. It just all the time I'm seeing repeating numbers, like, every day. And I wonder, do you know what that means?
Okay. Sure do. Those are angel numbers. They're pretty common. What I do is I tell you about the Subaru paradox. You know, when you finally buy a Subaru Legacy, all of a sudden you see Subaru Legacies all over the road. And it's not that there are any more of them, but you're just noticing them now. So that's a little bit of what happens with numbers like this. 111, it's get your intentions manifesting. Focus on what you really want. Ones are numbers of beginnings. When you have a one personal year in numerology, that's God saying, I'm giving you a tailwind, but you've got to put feet under your dream. And 333, trees are creativity numbers. And what that says is plug into the ascended masters. Whatever you want to work on right now that is superbly creative, you've got, again, the same thing with a tailwind. And it doesn't mean sculpting, painting. You starting a new business, that's creative. So there you go.
There you go.
It
well, Lauren,
like we're going to do an entrepreneurial thing.
Lauren, it's fantastic that you called. Thank you very much for the call, for listening on KXNT. And look at you, Corby Mittland. Thank you. You're a fantastic guest. I hope you'll consider coming on the show again. Tell us the name of your website.
It's very simple. It's CorbyMittlide.com. CORBIE. MITLEID.
And I will link it
right there.
I will link it to the Walter M. Sterling Facebook page, and I thank you so much for being on Sterling on Sunday. It's 43 past the hour on the fastest growing show in network radio. Are we having a good time tonight? I think we are. All right, coming up, we have Velo Hul, and we have, what else we got? We did that. Okay, Velo Hul coming up in just seconds. Look at your pillow. Don't you feel ashamed? There's your hair on the pillow this morning. It doesn't have to be there. You get to keep your hair if you use keeps.com, KEEPS.com. What the heck's that? It is a collection of prescriptive products that will help you stop losing your hair and in many cases restore your hair. In my case, it has helped me stop losing my hair, restore my hair, and it makes my hair happy. No, really. You run your hand through my hair, and I hope you do. You'll go, wow, that is happy hair. Keeps.com, K-E-E-P-S.com. You can get all the information about it on my Facebook page. Please go to my Facebook page. You'll see a video of my head. You'll see how it has gotten more and more hair. You'll find a link to the Keeps.com website, Keeps.com website. And when you click like, watched, make a positive comment, whatever it is, I get credit. You get 50% discount when you put in my name, K-E-E-P-S.com, Keeps.com. Put in my name, Walter, and you get 50% off, 50% off, 50 at Keeps.com. You go to Keeps.com, a doctor will ask you very few questions just to make sure you get the right dose and the right combination of products to expedite your hair regrowth and to stop losing hair. Does it work for everybody? Of course not. But it worked for me. And why not go to the website and find out? Get the information. Read all the legal disclaimers. See if it's going to work for you. All right? Keeps.com. You put in my name, Walter. Get 50% off. K-E-E-P-S. Keeps.com. Promo code Walter.
Where you're hearing things. Where you're hearing things.
Sterling on Sunday.
The process of artificially inseminating a female guppy may sound kind of simple at the beginning, but it's very complex. In my living room, I have a freezer. It's filled with sperm, guppy sperm, frozen guppy sperm in nitrogen. So here's how you prepare the semen. First, you have to take the plants off the top of the freezer. Then find the right vial of guppy goo. And once you're ready to go and you find the right one, you need to allow it to thaw. Now, just like meat in your fridge, if it thaws too much, it becomes spoiled. So you want to make sure the sperm are swimming and happy. So here's what I do. I take it out and let it thaw, and then I check the sperm really quick under a microscope. If it seems to be swimming, bingo. So the next part, the artificial gonopodium, that's the sexual organ of a guppy. You have to prepare the artificial gonopodium with the semen and the female guppy. So you pull the female guppy out, you hold her down a little bit against her will, you insert the gonopodium, and then you let the guppy seed enter. In 30 days, you'll have baby guppies from a male guppy. In fact, I just had a drop of guppy fry from a male that's been dead 10 years. Pretty cool, huh? From the fish room, this is Velo Hool from Muskegon, Michigan for Sterling on Sunday.
All right, darn sure I don't want to see his living room. I mean, there's no way in hell I ever want to see that living room. 50 minutes past the hour, we're driving across the country right now. There's the 18-wheeler. There's the 4-wheeler. We've got everything covered. This is the best shot you got on a Sunday night. There is nothing else live. Everybody else is screaming at Democrats. Who cares? I mean, who cares? There are many people in the past few weeks who have been fired for being stupid. McDonald's probes whether ex-CEO covered for other colleagues. Well, it's possible the ex-CEO of McDonald's actually covered for maybe their head of HR. Now, I always love stories about mistakes that HR people make because HR people are supposed to be the pope of the company. They're supposed to guard the morality of the company, right? You go to them when there's big trouble, and you share your secrets with HR. Now, what does HR do? Do they keep your secrets? No, 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 no. They run to the CEO and say, "Ooh, look at this booga booga. Look at this booga booga. This person's done a bad thing. Ooh." And then they have a what? What? A file on you. They keep a file on you because, ooh, you did a bad thing. And then you were stupid enough to go to HR. You never go to HR with anything. You never go to HR with anything. You go to a different company. You leave. You don't go. Now, this Jerry Falwell Jr., who had shenanigans with either a pool boy, or he watched his wife with a pool boy, or whatever it was. Did he break the law? No. Did he steal money from the university? I don't think so. Did he tamper with the academic integrity of Liberty University? No. He just watched his wife with a hunk. That's what he did, apparently. Apparently. Should he be fired over that? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. There were a number of announcers who tweeted, said stuff, made stupid promos, all of that, and they got fired last week. Our company won't tolerate stupid. Well, let me tell you, then go to a sales meeting and let me know how that goes. Really pay attention in a big sales meeting how stupid you're going to hear. Or even better, go to corporate legal. Listen to how they make decisions in corporate legal. There's no genius involved in any of these things. As a result, none of these people should be fired. Because, you see, 10 years ago, most of these things that they said or thought or said, they said in a bar. And the things that these people are being fired for are sort of offenses that people say in a bar at 10 p.m. Not at midnight, at 10 p.m. Dumb stuff. Worse than that, all of these people begged forgiveness. These were employees who had 10, 20, 30 years. And they'd been with their companies for 10, 20, 30 years. And I promise you, each one of them made sacrifices for the company. They missed a kid's birthday or soccer match or an anniversary, a wedding anniversary. They did something to sacrifice for the company because these people had big jobs. They had good jobs, and then they were forced to quit. Even though they got on their hands and knees and said, would you please not fire me? Because the minute they're caught doing something stupid and fired for it, it becomes an event. Now, here's what the problem is with a public apology. And this is why I've never recommended, when I was a consultant, I never recommended to a client to let a host apologize. For gosh sakes, don't apologize. Because when a host apologizes for saying something stupid, not something immoral, I'm sorry, not something illegal, not something obscene, that's different. That's on a different part of the table. This is just saying dumb stuff. When they beg to apologize, or they do apologize in public shaming, let's have public shaming of that talk show host, it freezes what they said at a moment in time. The minute it goes out, Big Joe apologized for saying something stupid. The minute that is frozen, then it's permanent. If I say something stupid right now, you're going to look at the radio, what did he say? What did he say? And it'll just go by. Nobody will know what I said. They won't be sure about what I said, and that'll be that. Meanwhile, if somebody says, well, you have to apologize for that, disaster. Because at that moment, it gets in a press release, a public statement, and all of a sudden, it's the news. And then it's permanent. And nobody asked for the apology. These people, these poor people lost their careers and their livelihood for being dumb. I can't begin to tell you how many corporate lawyers, heads of sales have said dumb things all day. And nothing seems to happen to them. But the minute you put it on the air, or God help us, on Twitter, disaster. Broadcasters are often told, you won't believe this, that you have to send out 10 tweets a day. I've known companies that have lost radio stations because of their hosts' tweets, that their host tweeted something stupid. Well, why would a host put out something stupid? Because they're broadcasters. They know how to do a talk show or a disc jockey show. That's what they know how to do. They don't know how to tweet. They have no idea how to tweet. They're not Fortean, or they're not the president of the United States who's a savant. But you know who does the best tweets, by the way? William Shatner. Oh, my God, is he funny. Brilliant. And Anna Kendrick. They do the best tweets. Everybody else shouldn't do any tweets. Everybody else's tweets are not funny. They're angry. But talk show hosts and disc jockeys are talk show hosts and disc jockeys, not tweeters. and therefore no one should be required to do a certain number of tweets a week. It doesn't seem to go well. It seems to end poorly. I want to hear from you, WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. And WalterMSterling, that's my Facebook page. WalterMSterling, that's my Facebook page. And it's a great way for you and I to stay in touch. Every email I get gets answered. And for gosh sakes, take a picture of what you're looking at and send it to me. I love seeing the Sterling snaps. I post them on Facebook. WalterMSterling. Well, this was a spectacular show. I think you'll agree. I mean, a psychic, a guy who would get you off your porn addiction. It's pretty impressive programming every week from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. And the greatest gift you and I can be given is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.